It is again time for the New American Dream Radio Show. The American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Out. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra.
What we must have is a new American dream. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. A new American dream. Out of homes and toasters, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. The new America, the real hope of the world.
Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice.
Oh, Mrs. McGrath, the sergeant said, would you like to make a soldier out of your son, Ted? With a scarlet coat and a big cocked hat. Oh, Mrs. McGrath, wouldn't you like that? With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Now, Mrs. McGrath lived by the seashore for the space of 7 long years or more, till she saw a big ship sailing into the bay. Here's my son Ted, wish to clear the way. With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Oh, Captain dear, where have you been? Or have you been in the Mediterranean? Will you tell me the news of my son Ted? Is the poor boy living or is he dead? With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Well, up comes Ted, without any legs, and in their place he had 2 wooden pegs. Well, she kissed him 12 times or 2, saying, glory be God, it couldn't be you. With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Ah, then were you drunk, or were you blind, when you left your 2 fine legs behind? Or was it while walking on the say, a big fish ate your legs from the knees away? With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. No, I wasn't drunk, and I wasn't blind, when I left my 2 fine legs behind. But a big cannonball on the 5th of May tore my 2 fine legs away. With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Oh, Teddy, my boy, the widow cried, your 2 fine legs were your mammy's pride. Them old sumpter tree won't do it at all. Why didn't you run from the big cannonball? With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Well, all foreign wars I do proclaim between Don John and the King of Spain. And by herons, I'll make them rue the time that they shut the legs from the child of mine. With your Toraye, Fawdy Diddle Da, Toraye, Oraye, Oraye. Sure, and it's St. Patrick's Day coming up. Hello, here in Fort Lauderdale, we had a parade last Saturday, the 10th. I marched in the parade with my friend Tim Smith, kind of a last-gap push in his campaign for a city council seat. The election came on Tuesday. The other guy won. We'll see how it goes. Mrs. McGrath is an old Irish folk song, covered by quite a variety of artists, from the Dubliners to Bruce Springsteen. My version was based on the first one that I heard from Burl Ives' album, Songs of Ireland. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. You can hear us live or listen to archive shows at newdream.us. And we promise to catch up on those archives. We're about a month behind. You can also listen live at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network, so don't forget to show them some love in the form of a donation. I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Larry Pinkney, Anthony Rayson, Frank Cordero, M.K. Davis, and Phil Ferruccio. So this Thursday evening, we all are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Panama City, Florida, in Chicago, in Minneapolis, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Port Orange, Florida, in Benton, Mississippi, and wherever you are. The revolution will not be planned in the checkout line at Walmart or in the line to punch out on Friday afternoon or at happy hour. The revolution will be born at 2 a.m. in a group home in Minneapolis by young people who are not stupid, who know what's going on, who are brave and loving and fearful, and with bills to be paid and routines that need to be maintained and all that you are. But these people, they choose to do something. Join them. The Geronimo's Revenge series, Crusher versus the Empire, Crusher in Wonderland from CWG Press. The final book in the series will be available in April, Geronimo's Revenge.
Good evening, Working Stiffs. Conspiracy of silence. You know, as a person who has always been labeled a conspiracy theorist, readers of my columns will enjoy this latest one. One need not even have to read the scores of research publicized on this American empire's military madness. The main point of contention is this. Over half our tax dollars goes down the rabbit hole of military spending. We keep close to 1,000 bases in almost 100 countries and have our WMDs poised to attack anywhere we deem necessary. On top of that, our occupations of Afghanistan and Iraq have cost us thousands of dead military personnel and tens of thousands of innocent civilians in those countries, a.k.a. collateral damage. The Congress keeps spending our money on these things regardless of who sits in the White House, with few exceptions from a handful of true blue progressives and libertarian politicians. The empire gets what this beast of war requires. Now, you know, it's funny, but you can turn on the boob tube and never see or hear any mention of what has been transpiring. Silence. All the shows that parrot either of our two sellout political parties simply will never discuss my aforementioned facts. Speaking of facts, when I attempt to bring up anything pertaining to this obscene spending and militaristic mindset, silence. It seems as if the majority of my fellow citizens just could not give a rat's ass about it. Yet those same people will lament how there is not enough money for whatever needs they think are important to them and their families. Let's take the need that many of us feel is overlooked, the need for comprehensive health care reform. Even most of the doctors I have interviewed tell me that if a gun was placed to their heads and they had to choose between private insurance as it is or Medicare as it is, they would choose the latter, even if it was not what they really wanted. When one attempts to go deeper into the how of implementing Medicare for All, the argument always is, well, the government just doesn't have the money to run the system properly. Well, when over $600 billion, and that's not even counting the black budgets, goes yearly for military spending, if even 25% of it was cut, that savings would be more than enough to jumpstart such a Medicare for All program. Actually, with that much money available, we could not only have a complete Medicare for All, but a complete dental care for all as well. Imagine all those folks you pass by each and every day with holes in their mouths where there used to be teeth, and they can now smile at you with a sea of shining white. I am one of that army, by the way. You know, I remember the Vietnam so-called war era when I was in high school and college. Perhaps in its early stages, 1964 to maybe 67, The empire was able to fool many of us, especially our parents. However, 68 and 69 revealed the utter catastrophe of hundreds of thousands of our young men conscripted and imprisoned for 1 year in that quagmire, if they did not return home sooner in a box. It may have begun with we students and returning vets, but soon after, it was many of our parents' generation who soon wanted and even demanded for the shit to end and the empire pulled back. The chaos of the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago was really mostly about Vietnam. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered for a score of reasons, as was Robert Kennedy. But the focal point of it all was Vietnam. King's 1967 speech at the Riverside Church in New York City was his coming out party against this empire. RFK's late announcement to run in 68 was equally focused on Vietnam. Yet when the forces that did their dual dastardly deeds within a few months, it did not deter the movement that was gaining steam. These events most likely sped that train up. As terrible as those days were in the late 60s, at least there was hope that this insane empire be curbed and pulled back. Sadly, today, it seems as if most of our 20-somethings and their parents do not even know what is going down. The conspiracy of silence is winning. Thank you.
And thank you, Philip Ferruggio. That was It's the Empire, Stupid.
The March issue of Penn Magazine is now published online, PENNmagazine.us. Because we have lived in the United States of America for years and years and decades, we realize that when something like the Parkland school shooting occurs, we must inherently question the account given of the event by our government and our media, because they have demonstrated time and time again that they are totally untrustworthy. But today, we're talking about Bigfoot and aliens. And at least we know they are real. Welcome to the March edition of Penn Magazine, PENNmagazine.us. And now it's time for Revolution College, underground night school in the basement of the abandoned humanities building, Thursdays. The course description reads as thus: what the hell is going on around here? Vince Lombardi. I'm a liberal, progressive, I guess. I love the hippies, what they did.
All of a sudden, we seem to have lost Mike. I'm going to try to call him back, add him back in. So meanwhile, I love the hippies. I think they're the real greatest generation. No doubt about it. However, a number of popular liberal websites, Common Dream, Alternet, The Nation, The Progressive. Mike, you can take back over.
And there are dozens. I must have dropped, Chuck. Is that right?
Yep, but you're back.
They treat Parkland as if it... Did I?
Yeah, you're back, though.
They treat Parkland as if it were real, organic, that the real issues are mental health and guts. And it's the same for the entire century regarding 9/11, Boston, Sandy Hook, Orlando, San Bernardino, Las Vegas, and two dozen more. They do not know that revolution, a real change, not CIA or Obama or Bernie fake CIA change, but a real change, comes through knowledge of what the FBI and CIA are doing to this country through propaganda. They've done it for decades all over the world. Why not here? Especially here. Why are supposedly smart liberals so stupid about this, that is destroying everything? And some cousin of a catfish in Kentucky likely has a better grasp of geopolitical issues. I simply do not understand. Why can't so-called liberals, leftists, progressives take the time to study these events? Why are you right-wing if you take the time to learn? These people, these websites are in favor of so many good things. Why can't they be bothered to go for the good fruit, the core, the root, the truth? Please tell me, because I obviously don't get it. The entire American system needs to be overhauled, and we know that. We cannot oppose them by force. For one thing, we would lose. And there's that thing about thou shalt not kill, which we should all begin to take seriously. What we need is a nonviolent revolution. InfoWars had it right when they chose their name. The biggest battle is being fought with information. The American people are an incredible, untapped force for good, but they don't really know much of anything about what is really going on. So what needs to happen is this base work for revolution, which is knowledge and teaching. We just don't know enough that we need a revolution, that it can come about through knowledge. Even though that might sound boring at first, we're doing this, for that very purpose, because the world is reaching a point where we really need to do something.
From Chris Hedges. Did you ever ask yourself how it happens that government and capitalism continue to exist in spite of all the evil and trouble they are causing in the world? The anarchist Alexander Berkman wrote that in his essay, The Idea is the Thing. If you did, then your answer must have been that it is because the people support those institutions, and they support them because they believe in them. Berkman was right. As long as most citizens believe in the ideas that justify global capitalism, the private and state institutions that serve our corporate masters are unassailable. When these ideas are shattered, the institutions that buttress the ruling class deflate and collapse. The battle of ideas is percolating below the surface. It is a battle the corporate state is steadily losing. An increasing number of Americans are getting it. They know that we have been stripped of political power. They recognize that we have been shorn of our most basic and cherished civil liberties and live under the gaze of the most intrusive security and surveillance apparatus in human history. Half the country lives in poverty. Many of the rest of us, if the corporate state is not overthrown, will join them. These truths are no longer hidden. It seems that political ferment is dormant in the United States, but this is incorrect. The ideas that sustain the corporate state are swiftly losing their efficacy across the political spectrum. Revolutions, when they erupt, appear to the elites and the establishment to be sudden and unexpected. This is because the real work of revolutionary ferment and consciousness is unseen by the mainstream society, noticed only after it has largely been completed. Throughout history, those who have sought radical change have always had to first discredit the ideas used to prop up ruling elites and construct alternative ideas for society. Ideas often embodied in a utopian revolutionary myth. Once ideas shift for a large portion of a population, once the vision of a new society grips the popular imagination, the old regime is finished. This is where we are headed. I do not say this because I'm a supporter of revolution. I'm not. I prefer the piecemeal and incremental reforms of a functioning democracy. I prefer a system in which our social institutions permit the citizenry to nonviolently dismiss those in authority. I prefer a system in which institutions are independent and not captive to corporate power. But we do not live in such a system. Revolt is the only option left. Ruling elites, once the ideas that justify their existence are dead, resort to force. It is their final clutch at power. If a nonviolent popular movement is able to ideologically disarm the bureaucrats, civil servants, and police, to get them in essence to defect, nonviolent revolution is possible.
Tonight's Revolution College lesson is from the same progressive, Debbie Lusignan, Lusignan. To see the full video, go to BitChute. The same progressive. Debbie Lusignan, the same progressive. Change won't come through elections.
Politicians are not the ones in power. It's the shadow organizations within the government, outside of the government, the billionaires, the profiteers, and the overlords. That's who runs the show, and we keep pretending they don't run the show. We keep organizing around the people that they puppet and control, and we have this never-ending battle for a system that is gone, a system that is usurped, and it's absolutely stupid at this point to keep playing this game of pretend. The more we play it, the harder we do what doesn't work, the more it falls apart, the more corrupted it becomes. We've got to break this insanity. Of course it's a psyop. It's absolutely leading us to total ruin and destruction. I'm so sick of talking within the confines of the lie, because the election system is a lie. What a sad thing to talk about having hope in a politician. Politicians are our public servants, and the premise of it is supposed to be they're our employees. You're supposed to tell them what to do. If they don't do what we elect them to do, which of course doesn't work anymore, you're supposed to hold them accountable, fire them. But the American people treat politicians like heroes, like saviors. Such a weird premise. They're employees, and when they go and do horrible things like wage war on people who never did anything to us, and then use propaganda and lies to get us to go along with it, all they have to do in an election cycle is say, well, I made a mistake. I didn't mean it. It's like, it's your mistake. You got a million dead people. We have to move outside of it. Social media is going the way of the mainstream media, but it doesn't mean the people who see through the lie don't exist. Never let them convince you that you are alone. You are not. There are millions of us who understand. We need to lead the way. Because the people who are out there who are caught in the lie, they're not going to do it.
We'll see you next Thursday night for the next session of Revolution College, underground in the abandoned Humanities Building. Attention, attendance, and attention is mandatory.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled her wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and muscles, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, and sure it was no wonder, for so were her father and mother before. And they both wheeled their barrows through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and muscles, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of a fever, and no one could save her, and that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. Now her ghost wheels her barrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Coming up in our next half hour, look forward to Frank Cordero and Anthony Rayson.
Internet Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest on the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from the Des Moines Catholic Worker in Des Moines, Iowa. And Chuck caught up with Frank earlier, and we're going to hear the conversation right now between Chuck Gregory and Frank Cordero.
I just want to mention that we had some interesting technical issues on this. The call dropped three times while Frank and I were talking, so it's kind of pieced together. But I'm sure that they'll see what happened. Here we go.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank.
How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, I missed you last week. I'm really sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I ended up doing something, and all of a sudden it was showtime, and I hadn't called you.
Good. It wasn't my fault. Terrific. Because life was just rolling on me anyway. So, I don't hold it against you. I hope the listeners don't either.
All right. Thank you.
Well, here we are in Des Moines. I just have to report, bragging rights. I just made a great lunch snack, with stew meat and chicken, with fresh green beans and lots of other vegetables, with real mashed potatoes and plenty of butter. And it was the rave of the 3 o'clock snack crowd. So, little bragging rights, and the sun is out here in Des Moines, and there's a sense of maybe we're just turning the corner. I mean, there can be snow and blizzards, but it ain't going to stay long. And there's a certain kind of, like, those of us who are still alive, a sense that we have made it.
All right.
And of course, this weather only reflects my insides, because since I've talked to you last, I have been in communication with Jessica Resnicek.
Oh.
And it's a great relief off my spirit and heart. We caught up on the last 4.5 months. She is still on her spiritual journey. She's got some work to do. She's not running away. She's dropping out. Big difference. She and Ruby basically We're just over leveraged with the exposure and the talkings and the lack of support and the raid and the waiting. And they bolted because they needed to kind of find some kind of readjustment, because they were just out there. We all were. And they really just wanted to drop out, and that's the best thing they needed to do. So could have done it better, but, you know, all I can say, Chuck, I'm sorry.
Frank, all of a sudden you dropped out. You were telling me you could have done it better, and all of a sudden you weren't there anymore.
Well, I think I pushed one of these smart buttons. I'm sorry, on my phone. Folks, really. Yeah, I got to get a better a shake on this phone. Sorry. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Well, so all of that being said, touching base with her has been a great thing for me, and I'm encouraged. We're still, you know, the FBI, whatever. The indictments can come down. If they do, they get a hold of our attorneys, her attorneys, and Chuck, we must have a bad connection.
I guess. I don't know. You sound great, and then all of a sudden you're gone.
This is a fleeting conversation with the whatever this phone is, or our phone is, this high tech stuff. But generally speaking, the other good note is there's a lot of good vitality back here at the Des Moines Catholic Worker, a whole new group of young people. So, you know, I don't know how it keeps happening. It just keeps happening.
Well,
you know, it's a, maybe it's the sun. Maybe it's the sense it's 60 degrees. Maybe it's a sense that I'm living. Maybe it's because, I know, Jessica is in good shape and doing good things. And maybe it's just because I made a good meal, but I tell you, I'm feeling hopeful today.
Well, that's good to hear. I like hearing you hopeful.
Yeah, I don't know how these three segments work with you, whether you get any of them or not. I'm sorry I hung up on you.
I'll just I'll put everything together. I may include all of it, you know, just for fun.
I'm so sorry. Just to label this one, you know, two old guys just couldn't quite get the button straight.
Really?
And then, of course, I will claim most of the problem. I'm too happy to figure this damn thing out.
All right. Well, Frank.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
So relieved and happy to hear that.
Oh, and more related information. Richard Flamer's in town. Yeah,
yes.
with Araceli, who's going to be spending a few months here to get some English in. So that's just great stuff. So you'll be hearing from Richard either sooner or later on the program.
Yeah, well, we heard from him, I guess it was last week, and I think he was headed your way.
That's right.
He's going to be headed home. He should be home by the time we talk to him next, but we're...
Fair enough.
Tell him we said...
I don't know. You.
And
I will. I'll tell him. I'll give him your best.
Okay.
All right, friends. All right. Thank you, Chuck. God bless.
Thank you, Frank. God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Revolution will not be planned in the checkout line at Walmart during the line to punch out on Friday afternoon or at happy hour. The Revolution will be born at 2 a.m. in a group home in Minneapolis by young people who are not stupid, who know what's going on, who are brave and loving and fearful, and with bills to be paid and routines that need to be maintained, and all that you are. But these people, they chose to do something. Join them. The Geronimo's Revenge series, Crusher versus the Empire, Crusher in Wonderland, from CWG Press. The final book in the series will be available in April, Geronimo's Revenge. Chuck, we're a little bit early. Do you have any inclination to talk about the election or not?
Well, sure, Mike. We just had a municipal election here in Fort Lauderdale, and my good friend Tim Smith did lose, but it was a pretty well fought election. Mostly, there were a little bit of know, mudslinging kind of stuff toward the end, but mostly it was pretty good. And I don't really dislike the guy that won. I'm hoping that he'll turn out to be pretty good. I think Tim would have been better, but that's the way it goes. You know, that's I'm pretty sure.
Did you hope it would be closer than it was?
Yeah, I'd hoped it would be closer than it was, but that's the way things go. It was closer than the mayoral election. We now have the first time in Florida, an openly gay mayor. So,
I saw that.
Yeah, for what it's worth, right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. One of the things that Trentalis and Glassman were pushing is that they're very much anti-development. They want to put a cap on any further building and so forth. And I don't think that's realistic. I don't think it's going to work. But we'll find out. And again.
Sounds good, Chuck. You fought the good fight.
Yeah.
Our next guest of the show is Anthony Rayson. And we're early, but maybe Anthony will be there. Anthony Rayson used to be a toll booth operator on the Chicago freeway system. He's been retired, I think it's a few years now. He is a publisher, though. He's a publisher of zines, small magazines, and he publishes specifically the writings of people in our prison system all around the country. He somehow finds them, or they find him, and he communicates, and they write to him, and he publishes it and disseminates those writings, and that's very cool. And now we're going to try and contact Anthony Rayson in Chicago.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Very good. Thank you very much. Well, tonight I would like to speak about so-called mental illness. And I'm going to draw from a brilliant activist, Catherine Hodges, who spearheaded a group called Mad Lib here in Chicago. There's a piece she articulated called Six Reasons to Question the Idea of Mental Illness. Number one. There's no legitimate proof that anything typically called mental illness, the conditions labeled clinical depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, manic depression, schizophrenia, attention deficit disorder, bulimia, alcoholism, etc., is caused by a genetic defect or chemical imbalance. All the research claiming these are brain disorders is done by those who, with a financial and or political stake, in convincing people that emotional problems are illnesses that need medical treatment. Number two, medical treatments for mental illnesses are much less effective and much more dangerous than we're told by doctors and drug companies. Psychiatric drugs don't correct anything. They work through a placebo effect and by suppressing normal brain function. These drugs can cause many significant problems, including irreversible neurological disorders, addiction, a risk of violence to self or others, depression, damage to the reproductive system, and extreme withdrawal symptoms. Electroshock generally causes severe memory loss. People should be able to choose to use drugs with real informed consent, but no one needs these treatments. Safe non-medical alternatives are possible and should be emphasized. Number three. Though doctors claim mental illness is like any other illness, psychiatry is the only branch of medicine based on force and coercion, seeking out patients and treating them whether they like it or not, for their own good and for public safety, because the mentally ill may be a danger to themselves or others. But psychiatrists can't predict dangerousness, and self-destructive people aren't helped through incarceration in institutions, seclusion and restraint, forced drugging, and shock. And since people under 18 have very few rights, all psychiatrically labeled youth are involuntary patients by definition. Number four, the concept of mental illness is a form of social control over people who haven't broken laws, a way to label, isolate, and punish those whose emotional suffering, creativity, spirituality, sexuality, or political beliefs annoy or disturb others. Psychiatrists function as a sort of emotion police, and what's defined as mental illness and mental health is influenced by current societal biases, not science. Number five, like all types of eugenics, biopsychiatry is used to cover up social injustices by locating problems in individual people who need to be fixed. It's the ultimate form of blaming the victim. People react to society's oppression. Oh, shit.
We temporarily lost Anthony, but we're going to get him right back.
Hello.
Hey, Anthony. Sorry, I don't know what happened. The call dropped, but just continue, please.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Number five. I was on five. It's the ultimate form of blaming the victim. People react to society's oppression and alienation by becoming sad or crazy, then are treated as inferior. Why you pay attention to power wealth imbalances in the world if you think you've got imbalances in your head? Number six, the mental health system claims that calling emotional problems medical illnesses will reduce stigma and people will take these problems seriously. But it just does just the opposite. Convincing physically normal but troubled people that they're defective and should be treated differently for the rest of their lives. It says their pain has no meaning. It's just the symptoms of an illness that they can't do anything to help themselves but must rely on doctors and drugs indefinitely, that they can't trust their friends and family when they're hurting but must see experts instead. The medical models of mental illness can keep us isolated from each other and afraid to change the world. Okay, and here's her advocacy to deal with this. No forced treatment ever. Why we need to resist coercive psychiatry. Most U.S. states have involuntary outpatient commitment laws empowering courts to force psychiatrically labeled people living peacefully in their own homes to be given powerful psychiatric drugs against their will. The main group pushing IOCs is the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, an advocacy group that has actually received $11.72 million from drug companies, this is like 12 years ago, in the past few years. The pharmaceutical industry funds groups that push for laws that will force their products on people. Is there any clear example of corporate domination? IOC advocates exploit highly publicized incidents of violence, claiming they could be prevented with coercive treatment. But psychiatrically labeled people are no more likely to commit violence. Most of these killers were already getting psychiatric treatment, and the drugs themselves have been linked to sudden violence. Basically, people are being punished on the chance they'll commit a crime. This is mental profiling, a major civil liberties violation. And forced psychiatric treatment doesn't prevent violence. It is violence. Neuroleptics, antipsychotics, are the major drugs used in forced psychiatric drugging. Advocates claim they're necessary for the brain disease of schizophrenia, but no condition called mental illness, depression, OCD, manic depression, ADHD has been legitimately proved to be a brain disorder, genetic predisposition, or chemical imbalance. Psychiatric drugs should be an individual's choice, but with real informed consent. Neuroleptics are widely used to control people in prisons, nursing homes, and facilities for the physically or developmentally disabled, making their function as medication suspect. Mainstream medicine recently admitted that long-term use of neuroleptics actually changes the structure of the brain. Millions of users have developed tardive dyskinesia, an irreversible neurological disorder. Neuroleptics affect the body's ability to regulate heat and caused many deaths during the 1995 heat wave in Chicago. See, psychiatric drugs should never be stopped suddenly. Withdrawal can cause health risk and erratic behavior, which are ignorantly blamed on the person being off their medication. People in emotional distress and their loved ones are not told that many people have successfully been helped through even crises such as suicidal depression or paranoid schizophrenia without drugs or force. The Psychiatric Survivors Alternatives Movement is calling for major protests of the globalization of coercive profit-driven psychiatry to be held in several countries in July of 2010. There are far too much misinformation, coercion, and emphasis on drugs in the mental health field, not enough on individual freedom and self-determination, and on the social causes of emotional problems. This movement insists things could be a lot different. We want to imagine and implement alternative, non-medical, non-coercive ways to help people in distress. We want emotional problems to be seen as a normal part of the human condition, though they're aggravated by an oppressive system, not a bizarre illness affecting only defective individuals. We want to make it clear that no one needs coercive psychiatric treatment, but that we all need love, support, and a transformed society. MadLib is a Chicago-based organization for psychiatric patients and their survivors and their allies that seeks to oppose forced psychiatric treatment and promote alternatives to the mental health system. Okay, that's the basis of the fraud that is psychiatry. Okay, here's another piece written by James Ridgway and Gene Casella, bringing the mental illness situation to the prisons. Solitary confinement cells have become America's new asylums. If you want to know where they are all being kept, said Todd Winstrom, they're down in the hole. Winstrom, a staff attorney for Disability Rights Wisconsin, was talking about what happens to mentally ill offenders when they enter his state's prison system. Without treatment options and without any place else to put them, these prisoners quickly end up in solitary confinement where they may remain for months or years. Since solitary confinement has been shown to cause severe psychological trauma in prisoners without underlying psychiatric conditions, it would be difficult to imagine a more damaging place to incarcerate the mentally ill. Winstrom was quoted by Jessica Van Egeren of Madison's Capital Times as part of her June 10, 2009 investigative report on mentally ill inmates in Wisconsin correctional institutions. Van Egeren, who led a breakout session on treatment of mentally ill offenders at this month's fifth annual Guggenheim Symposium on Crime in America, described a destructive cycle in which these prisoners, untreated, unmedicated, and sometimes undiagnosed, were placed in segregation and left isolated in their cells for 23 hours a day. At three prisons involved in the recent state audit, she reported between 55% and 76% of the inmates in segregation were mentally ill. Wisconsin is far from alone in these practices. While there are no national statistics to indicate how many mentally ill prisoners end up in lockdown, a 2003 report from Human Rights Watch, based on available data from states around the country, found one-third to one-half of prisoners held in what are usually called secure housing units and special management units were mentally ill. The report concluded that persons with mental illnesses often have difficulty complying with strict prison rules, particularly when there is scant assistance to help them manage their disorders, eventually accumulating substantial histories of disciplinary infractions they land for prolonged periods in disciplinary or administrative segregation. Okay, here's a little piece by a prisoner, what she's gone through. A brilliant researcher named Anastasia Schmidt. Okay, for anyone, it's titled The Purpose of Higher Education. For anyone who seeks to understand the importance of finding meaning and purpose in one's life, particularly in circumstances of extreme dehumanization and deprivation, Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning eloquently portrays the vital essence for human survival and advancement. This is what higher education has provided me in modern-day American incarceration. My college education, while incarcerated, has provided me myriad opportunities, among which is dispelling of commonly held stereotypes and social myths about incarcerated people and people with disabilities. My criminal conviction labeled me guilty but mentally ill. I had spent nearly 2 years awaiting trial, during which time I had been administered 15 psychotropic medications, which left me in a state known as chemical restraint. These drugs were often chemically contradictory to one another, causing extreme adverse effects, including toxic drug poisoning. My chronic PTSD was exacerbated by the compounded traumas of the system. I arrived to prison a wasted shell of a human being in every aspect of my personhood, facing 2.5 decades of incarceration. I had lost everything and was in a state of utter despair. Fortunately, the majority of those drugs were discontinued upon my arrival, and I was housed on a psychiatric unit to begin a treatment plan. As the drugs began to filter out of my system and I slowly regained my cognizant awareness, I began inquiring about opportunities on how I might best utilize my time. Although the counseling and group therapy was beneficial to me to a point, it grossly fell short in my treatment, and the structure of that unit's program was demeaning in its infantile structure and treatment plans. My potential was being gravely wasted and underestimated. I began to realize just how many people, some professionals included, are under the erroneous assumption that people diagnosed with mental illness are also mentally deficient, along with the false belief that all incarcerated people are uneducated, neither of which are accurate assessments of me.
That's the end of our time, but thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Please.
Take care. Good night.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised.
Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
Or be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Have the aircraft gun pointed to action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
Hotel quarters, all hands at your battle stations.
Be nervous, count your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
Those who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are until I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time. Join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show, Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney joins us each month from Minneapolis. Larry is a former member of the Black Panther Party from the 1960s. He is a writer, he's a radio show host, an activist, and Chuck is going to try to contact Larry Pinkney in Minneapolis right about now.
Good evening, Larry Pinkney speaking.
Well, hello, Larry. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Thank you so much. First of all, I would like to apologize to the audience and to both you and Mike for having not been available last month for the program due to some ongoing medical issues. Anyway, I'm here tonight. And I'm very happy and pleased to be here. Struggle continues. I would like to share some news that folks, our audience, can utilize, hopefully. There's a new book out. It's called Follow the Money, Radio Voices for Peace and Justice. Again, it's titled Follow the Money, Radio Voices for Peace and Justice. The book is by Dennis J. Bernstein, who's with the KPFA Pacifica Network. The foreword is written by Mumia Abul-Jamal, and it's edited by Reva Enteen. That's E-N-T-E-E-N. The book is chock full of incredible, incredible interviews by Bernstein of many, many people from 2009 to 2016. The book just came out. In fact, you won't be able to get it until the 15th of April, which is very interesting. You know, tax day, follow the money, right? But get it. Follow the money. Now, you can get the book, all right, specifically from Barnes & Nobles and Amazon. Not fond of Amazon. None of us are, but Barnes & Noble as well. So check it out. Follow the Money. It'll be out on the 15th of April, the 15th of next month. Please check this out. I can tell you that two of the interviews that Bernstein did are especially fascinating for me. One is an interview of Greg Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T. And the other is an interview by Bernstein, Dennis Bernstein, of John Pilger, who also happens to be a person that I think is just incredibly conscious and aware. Both of these are fantastic journalists. Now, there are many, many other interviews as well in the book that I think you will find fascinating and encouraging. I don't necessarily agree with everything that everyone says, but that's neither here nor there. It's important to be critical thinkers. There's even, believe it or not, an interview by Bernstein, Dennis Bernstein, of, believe it or not, Phil Donahue. So, but there are many, 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 many other people, women and men, who are interviewed, and it's word for word in the book titled Follow the Money. So I urge everyone, write it down on your calendar, April 15th, April 16th. You know, check it out, get it. Be available on Barnes & Noble and UGG, Amazon. But anyway, get the book. It is well worth reading, enjoying. I'm a strong believer in intellectual, critical thinking, independent critical thinking. So I wanted to share that with our audience because, you know, we don't get good news very often. But I do believe, having read the original manuscript of the book itself before it was published, I'm saying, oh my God, people really need to read this and understand as much as possible what the ongoing struggle is. I'm a strong believer, as I said before, in independent critical thought, neither left nor right. Now, I will tell you right up front, yes, it has a lot of people from the left, quote unquote, so-called left, whatever that is anymore in 2018. However, the interviews the interview by Bernstein of Greg Palast and of John Pilger are absolutely fascinating and informative. So, having said that, I want to remind everybody the book title is Follow the Money in red letters, underscored Radio Voices for Peace and Justice. But just remember, Follow the Money by Dennis J. Bernstein, edited by Riva. That's RivaNteen. Okay, so I'm going to leave it at that for now. Don't have a lot of time. Just want to thank everyone. And I urge people, and I always say this, over the many, many years that I have been privileged to be involved in the ongoing struggle of the people. And when I say the people, I mean just that, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. I do not believe, as I'm sure the audience knows, I do not believe in a necessarily specific so-called ideology. In fact, I call it idiotology. We get all caught up in this ideological, dogmatic view of our society and of the world, and we forget that, excuse me, there are other people who have just as valid and experiential perspectives as do we ourselves. So I want to emphasize that we need to really get real, stop being in one political camp or the other. If we're going to be in a camp, let's be in the camp of independent critical thinkers. So I'm going to, I guess at this point, leave it at that. Unless Chuck and Mike want to chime in and anything they say, I'll try to respond to it.
Well, Larry, we appreciate that, and that sounds like a fascinating book that you were describing. I'm glad that you brought it to our attention. I'm not sure that we have any other questions right now. I'd just like to thank you for being on our show.
Well, the privilege is mine, quite frankly, Chuck and Mike, and to the audience, the privilege is mine. And I'm honored to be a part of the show, and I again apologize for being absent last month. But, I believe that the struggle goes on all levels. I believe that we need to be independent, underscored, critical thinkers. And I thank you so much, and I'll leave it at that. And as we used to say in the original Black Panther Party, all power to the people. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and don't even worry about missing last month. You have to take care of yourself, and we're just glad that you were able to be with us this time. So thanks again.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Love you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The revolution will not be planned in the checkout line at Walmart or in the line to punch out on Friday afternoon during happy hour. The revolution will be born at 2 a.m. in a group home in Minneapolis by young people who are not stupid, who know what's going on, who are brave and loving and fearful and with bills to be paid and routines that need to be maintained and all that you are. But these people, they choose to do something. Join them. The Geronimo's Revenge series, Crusher versus the Empire, Crusher in Wonderland, from CWG Press. The final book in this series will be available in April, Geronimo's Revenge. Next guest to the show is M.K. Davis. M.K. Davis joins us each month from Benton, Mississippi. M.K. is an expert on the Bigfoot issue, the Bigfoot phenomenon, the Bigfoot. The Patterson-Gimlin film, which was the first evidence we had of Bigfoot. It was in California in the 1960s, I believe. Anyway, we will now try to contact M.K. Davis in Benton, Mississippi.
Hello?
Well, hello, MK. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Well, we'll talk a little bit today about logic. Logic is something that will will bear you much fruit during your lifetime in most everything you do. But it seems that in the pursuit of Bigfoot or Sasquatch, logic doesn't seem to work well. And every once in a while, when you have a success, if you want to call it a success, and logic is involved, it's very gratifying. I live on the edge of the Mississippi River Delta, and out in the Delta, they're experiencing right now a major flood. And it's not like a flash flood. It literally backs out of the rivers and spreads across the land in slow motion. And then it fills. It's not that it's not devastating. It is devastating. But it could be flooded for weeks. And so it's right now it's still rising, and it's approaching, a record flood. It's not there yet, but it could get there. And I rode down the West Levee. They have a levee on either side of a canal. The canal's overrun its banks and flooded. And I was looking at the alligators. There were just lots and lots of alligators. The nights had been cool, the water's cool, but the days have been, 70 degrees with sunshine. And those alligators will come over to the levee and just lay on the bank and just absorb the heat. And I was riding, I brought my drone out there and taken some footage because I wanted to document the flood, probably for the first time from the air, or at least from a drone. I was doing that. I did it for 2 days in a row, and actually 3 days. Me and my wife went last Sunday. And it occurred to me that sometimes this is using logic. And sometimes unusual circumstances offer opportunities. And you look at the lay of the land and where the flooding's taking place, and how the water's backing up and slowly pushing animals and the like out of the deep woods and forcing them on the high ground, the higher ground. And I told this friend of mine, Doug Randall, I told him, I said, Doug, you probably need to get your thermal. And that would be an infrared lens that he puts over his iPhone. And it's not the best, but it's not the worst either. And you can see, heat signatures at night, just general shapes. And I talked to him a little bit about it. I said, this opportunity is, don't let it come and go, because you've upped your odds, of if Bigfoot is in there somewhere. It's not likely he's going to be in his old haunts. He's going to be somewhere brand new that he's forced to go. And we might catch him out if there's one in there. This is a swamp. They call it Panther Swamp. It's a federal wildlife reserve. And it's loaded with animal life. But there's been some strange disappearances of people in that swamp over the years. And so, that's always been in the back of my mind that, how that perhaps, especially since David Pilates wrote his 411 books, that perhaps maybe old Harry might be involved. But that's just something that you think about, but here was an opportunity, and logic, old-fashioned logic, says you might find him near high ground, near a levee. So done this power away from me. And he got his thermal and he said, I'm coming. So he came. And we waited till it got dark and we drove across the river and headed up the highway towards that levee. And the flood had pushed deer out, and we counted like 30 deer and just right beside the highway where they, you know, could get out of the water, and there was some fresh spring grass growing. And we made it up to the levee finally, and we rigged up his camera and his little infrared lens that fits over the camera of the iPhone. And this is a fully functional infrared camera now, because you can flip it back and forth between color, black and white, or invert. So all I had to do to make it work was drive very slow. If you drove above 5 miles an hour, everything started to blur. It couldn't refresh each frame fast enough. So it was the processor. So I drove very, very, very slow. And this was a levee that was miles long. And we saw deer. And we saw what probably was hogs, armadillos, saw a gator or two just from our headlights. It probably took us an hour and a half or maybe closer to 2 hours to get down to a point where we were, the tree line was coming up to the lake. And you could see some water out in there, but you could see some dry land too. And we saw something. And we thought, well, this is deer. It was more than one. It's about three of them. And they were just playing. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, they were kind of, they looked like just some kind of large animals, but all of a sudden one of them took a leap sideways. And I said, what was that I just saw? It was strange. And it went behind a tree and was deliberately hiding behind a tree. And it's just something that deer don't do. So we continued to watch them, and I eased forward a little bit, and the heat signatures, we lost them all. Couldn't find them. And I went forward and I went back. And then all of a sudden, when I came back, one of them had stood upright and was standing upright and was looking from around behind the tree at us. And it was large. And if it wasn't a bear, then it had to be a Bigfoot. There's no way a person's going to be in there in that flooded timber. Once it got to that position, it would not move from it. We waited. And we had good images of it. We hollered. We tried to get it to move. They tell me that alone is a good sign that it's a Bigfoot. That Bigfoot usually will freeze if they think that they have the goods on you and they can see you and you can't see them. They will freeze and just won't move. They won't give you anything to see. Of course, he did not know that we could see his body. And I was so taken aback by that and so shocked and surprised, because much of the stuff that a researcher does in this field is by rote. You know, you just say, I'm going to go out and look around today. And you don't really think in your mind that this day would be the day that you would see something, or that you would actually figure out where he might be and go there and him be there. It's a shocking thing where logic works all of a sudden, and the same laws that affect the other animals in nature is affecting the Bigfoot too. So I know that this Bigfoot would not have came out of a vortex or a portal like it's talked about a lot, because the flood was worrying the heck out of him. He was out there, he was pushed out like the rest of them to this high ground and made him vulnerable, and it made, got him within reach of the camper lens. And I kind of smiled, you know, it's gratifying that anyone, not just me, anyone, could actually put together a set of parameters and figure out where that's going to put Bigfoot. And then go down there, and there he is. I'm not going to rest on my laurels too long, and it doesn't happen very often, but it, because of this great flood, and if you think about it, you know, a lot of times the great sightings where people say they've had very close-up sightings have happened in the face of some kind of unusual circumstance. I've heard that Mount St. Helens, that there were lots of dead Bigfoot because of the volcano. I've heard that many, many times. Or that some river flooded and out comes Bigfoot, or that Bigfoot was killed by a storm throwing a tree on. Those are all unusual circumstances. So if in your area, wherever you live, if something happens like this, and if it's not just so devastating that you can't keep your mind on Bigfoot or anything else, but if you can see your way to try to tailor a program that might take advantage of these unusual circumstances and use human logic, it might work for you. I suggest you try it. How am I doing on my time? I'm not there yet, Em.
We're just about out of time, I think, MK. It's a pretty interesting idea. Maybe the next time we have a hurricane, I'll try to be out in the Everglades or something.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that you put yourself in peril, but, go ahead.
No, I'm saying that might be a problem. I don't want to put myself in peril, but you're right. You may have come on to, have discovered something here.
You know, at some point in time, I heard that a large monkey was seen in the floodwaters of Houston. This, you know, when they had the big hurricane down there.
Continue it next time.
All right.
That was really interesting.
Well, thank you.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles, a show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow
Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a message in the Boone's Farm Bible. Some notes we had been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
Roberta in Milwaukee says, for over 30 years, the Casa Maria Catholic worker community held a nonviolent protest of board taxes, many of them leading to arrests. We believe that the military is the main reason for our poor economy, and yet it receives the most entitlements from taxpayers. The media tells us the U.S. military gets only 20% of the budget pie and is never challenged on this fallacy. In their pie, much of military spending is hidden in other departments other than the Department of Defense. According to the War Resisters League, 45% of taxes, or $1,307 billion, goes to the military. The U.S. accounts for 48% of the world's total military spending, more than the next 45 countries combined. Continues to be the number one exporter of weapons to cruel governments that use these to kill or maim their own citizens and eventually our own. Israel, a violator of 77 U.N. resolutions, received $2.775 billion in military aid and is now asking for $4 billion more. Since 1973, Israel has cost the U.S. taxpayers about $1.6 trillion. The U.S. continues to spend $12 billion a month in Iraq and Afghanistan and has already spent over $3.2 trillion on these illegal and immoral invasions since 2003. That adds up to $6,300 per American. Also, the U.S. still has to pay to rebuild what it destroyed in Iraq and Afghanistan, pay for the recovery of the young who were physically and mentally damaged, pay for the upkeep of the families of the many thousands of vets who did not return or are disabled for life, and it has to compensate the families of the tens of thousands of Iraqi and Afghan civilians who were killed and disabled for life. No legislator will deny money to the U.S. military for fear of not getting reelected to office. It's a sacred cow. Meanwhile, only 0.15% of the U.S. GNP goes toward assisting the 2 billion most needy in the world.
From Don in Milwaukee, my wife and I cannot in conscience give any money to the military that could otherwise be used to save lives both here and abroad. For this reason, we continue to live below the taxable poverty level. If we have any extra money, it goes to those who lack the basics of life. Giving money to the military leads to more invasions and occupations, more destruction of property and lives, more orphans and widows, more wounded for life, more sickness and death due to weapons tipped with depleted uranium, more hatred and violence. Tea Partiers need to ask, why is there always money for war and not for health, education, and employment?
A message in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we've been receiving during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
And now we get the view from Uncle Bill's front porch. Conspiracies are real. There are many more of them than people are aware. Just Google, for example, Operation Gladio or the Northwoods Project. These conspiracies alone are sufficient to chastise those uninformed Western peoples who go around saying our government would never kill its own people. False flag attacks are used by governments in order to pursue secret agendas that they cannot publicly acknowledge. If President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney had said, we are going to attack Iraq and a half dozen other countries in order to exercise hegemony over the Middle East, steal their oil and clear the path for Israel, to steal the entirety of the West Bank of Palestine, diverting taxpayers' resources from serving the American people into the pockets of the armaments industries and spilling the blood of your parents, spouses, children, and siblings, even the American sheeple would have resisted.
Instead, following the famous advice of Hitler's chief propagandist, they said, our country has been attacked. Generally speaking, an observant person with a bit of education can recognize a false flag attack. However, few people pay attention beyond what the official media says. And the media no longer investigates and questions, but simply repeats the official story. Therefore, only a few realize what has really happened. And when these few open their mouths, they're discredited as conspiracy theorists. This method of control might be wearing thin. There have been so many false flag terrorist attacks in the 21st century. There are now thousands of experts labeled as conspiracy theorists. The neoconservatives who controlled the George W. Bush regime called for a new Pearl Harbor so they could begin their wars of conquest in the Middle East. A new Pearl Harbor, it's what 9/11 gave them. The charge, conspiracy theory, is used to prevent investigation.
9/11 was not investigated. The Boston Marathon bombing was not investigated. A scripted story was issued and repeated by the media. The San Bernardino shootings were not investigated. Again, a pre-scripted story took the place of investigation. The success of false flag attacks in the U.S. led to their use in the U.K. and France. The Charlie Hebdo affair was not investigated, and the official explanation makes no sense. The story was closed with all the loose ends dangling. For example, why did a French police official investigating the crime allegedly commit suicide in his police office in the early hours of the morning, and why was his family denied the autopsy report? What happened to this disappeared story?
Dear Western peoples, if you wish to be able to walk down the streets of your cities without being accosted by police, demanded to present identity papers, searched, detained indefinitely, or assassinated without due process of law, if you wish to be able to express your opinion about your government and its use of your tax payments, if you wish to be able to discuss current affairs or your personal affairs without being recorded by the NSA or the equivalent in your own country or by both, if you wish to live in the freedom that was achieved in the West after centuries of struggle, wake up. Find time from less meaningful pursuits to become aware of what is being stolen from you. It is late in the game. If you do not stand up for truth, you will have no freedom, as there is no freedom without truth. The View from Uncle Bill's Front Porch, sponsored by homemade apple pie and the bright red can. The revolution will not be planned in the checkout line at Walmart, or in the line to punch out on Friday afternoon, or at happy hour. The revolution will be born at 2 a.m. in a group home in Minneapolis by young people who are not stupid, who know what's going on, who are brave and loving and fearful and with bills to be paid and routines that need to be maintained and all that you are. But these people, they chose to do something. Join them. The Geronimo's Revenge Series. Crusher versus the Empire. Crusher in Wonderland from CWG Press. And coming in April, the final book in the series, Geronimo's Revenge. Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, at the end of the Empire. The flags are at half staff at the post office and Bueller Chevrolet and the high school and also Taco John's to commemorate and celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden and also the burial at sea of Cruella de Vil, the Wicked Witch of the West, buried at sea, as well as Captain Hook, buried at sea, and the Big Bad Wolf, buried at sea. While back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, the local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert is long gone, killed by the police, but Kate is still around, and she sent some transcripts to some of JRK's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the local newspaper, but they didn't want it, so she sent them to us. Good morning, dear people! And good morning, Oakland, California, home of the Black Panther Party. The Panthers are a group that this Midwest boy doesn't know much about, not supposed to. I've heard that the Chicago police and FBI, killed Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in a morning raid in Chicago. The Panthers were an actual threat to power. That meant they could not exist. Is there anything or anybody out there these days that's an actual threat to these criminals today? I heard Dick Gregory speaking one day in Omaha. He said he did not believe we landed on the moon. And then he said, they will roll tanks on your ass. That was an epiphany for me. I did not believe it at first. If you become effective, if you really challenge them, there will be tanks in your zinnias by morning. I believe we're about to see just how right Mr. Gregory was. Is this heaven? No, it's Ohio. This is Bigfoot Radio, streaming to you on the internet at lookingforbigfoot.net. Hello, my name is Jack Robert King. They killed Paul Wellstone. I can feel it all around me, like 98% humidity, like the feeling there is someone in the house who shouldn't be there. They attacked the World Trade Center to put out the Patriot Act, to steal the oil, to rule the world, to impress their long-lost junior high sweethearts. Who knows why? I suddenly realized and reached behind me into the back seat to snatch the bad guy who I know is there, but all I grab is air. Can still hear it breathing, catch a shadow in the rear view. They killed the Kennedys and Martin. Now we've got the books and testimony, but before that, all I had to do was walk down to the Super Value for Mom to buy bread and stand on a milk crate to look into the eyes of the checkout lady as she counted my change. I might have guessed Vietnam was a lie, by the glare in Father Tom's eye and the way Sister Margaret rushed by like she was always on her way somewhere to cry. Someone once said that violence is as American as apple pie, and now I know why. Just some small kid from a small town thinking nothing ever happens here when actually I was right in the middle of the action. The baker bombed Iraq. The barber gunned down Bobby. And the four little grandmothers in blue flower dresses and green metal chairs in that row of white porches on Sarah Street sliced the throats of children in El Salvador in their spare time during the summer in the 1980s. You can see it in their eyes, dull and dead, not from seeing too much of the world, but too little. The robins are tweeting on the front lawn, puffing their red chest into the sun. Their song, "Hang the Niggers." On the days we bombed Iraq, the farmers' co-op elevator dryers hummed a happy tune. The coffee drinkers smiled across Formica tables and asked for more cream, please. And for the 10 years in between, while children died from the sanctions, from no food or light or heat or love or prayers or hearties, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Smith went to work each day, drove on the right side of the road, smiled, kept their desks in order, and were not considered suspects. They really truly stole a presidential election in the United States, and our response was to wave at the limousines as they passed by on the TV atop the kitchen counter next to the toaster. They shot down or lasered down Wellstone's plane, and they really did attack their own Pentagon. I see this, and I have zero documentation, but I don't care. I have all the proof I need from the glazed look in your eye as you struggle to attach the American flag to your car antenna. I understand America by watching you. I know it from growing up in the Midwest of America, from playing baseball and football and riding down the middle of the street with no hands eating an ice cream cone. Strawberry drips on my white t-shirt and I don't care. Mama wash it, clean it up, just as she rinses the blood of 1,000 Chileans from her hands. A lemony spray makes everything smell fresh. I see more than I want to in the referee's face as he prepares the jump ball toss, and then the smile of the drive-up teller as she helps another customer. Would evil men and women kill in order to gain absolute power? Pretty darn near impossible to believe when they look just like us, sound like us, tell the same tired jokes, and watch the same TV shows. I do know, because I saw it myself, over the top of my supersized Diet Pepsi. But while children are being bombed to gooey bits, the mail still arrives at our house at 10, the garbage is picked up at 1, school dismisses at 3:30, and Raymond comes on at 7. I see the banality of evil old Mrs. Schwartz using her tongs to set another fish square into a slot on a lunch tray at St. Mark's Elementary, as a child in Baghdad has his nose blown away by a small bomb he thought was a toy. I do not have a leaked file or a tidbit of information or an inside source. I know all I need to know from seeing your guilty face, staring out into the night while you wash dishes, or leaning out the car window to order an A&W root beer, or chasing your children into the schoolhouse with one last admonition. I don't need to know Barack Obama, George Bush, Karl Rove, Donald Trump. I know you. And that's the news from Moon Rock Lake. Where all the police and soldiers are thugs. All the journalists and Democrats are cowards. And all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions, no hidden black military budget, no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We're not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about this long war, this debacle, to trial. Put them on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now, we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be able to allow to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. Got someone spin on the day's news. Somebody's advertising slogan. Someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars everywhere based on a lie. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said Osama bin Laden had been killed, buried at sea. Yeah, Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into the hole. Oh, no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered, no plane parts. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie, and the killers in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid, so we cannot be afraid. I'd like to thank you for listening tonight. Once again, I am Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. And we're streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you do, the interviews, all the technical work, everything that makes the show possible. And thanks to our guests, Larry Pinkney in Minneapolis, Phil Ferruggio in Port Orange, Florida, Anthony Rayson in Chicago, M.K. Davis in Benton, Mississippi, and Frank Cordero in Des Moines, Iowa. Please visit the New American Dream website where you will find information about all of our regular guests, also the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, PENNmagazine.us, where you will find issues from November, December, January, February, a special edition, March, and soon we'll have an April issue up. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And I do believe, I do suspect that if you want to donate to or help out Richard Flavor and the Chiapas Catholic Worker, that that can be done at that address too. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Oxbrum. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Oh, how do you do, young Willie McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while in the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. And I see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died quick and I hope you died clean. Or Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? And did you leave a wife or a sweetheart behind? In some loyal heart is your memory enshrined. And though you died back in 1916, to that loyal heart you're forever 19. Or are you a stranger without even a name? Forever enshrined behind some old glass pane, in an old photograph torn, tattered, and stained, and faded to yellow in a brown leather frame. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? The sun shining down on those green fields of France. The warm wind blows gently, the red poppies dance. The trenches have vanished long under the plow. No gas, no barbed wire, no guns firing now. But here in this graveyard that's still no man's land, the countless white crosses in mute witness stand to man's blind indifference to his fellow man, and a whole generation were butchered and damned. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife lowly? Did they sound the death march as they lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? And I can't help but wonder, O Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end war? Good night, everyone.
What do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country is founded on great ideals and principles. They've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation needs a revolution, Jimmy. The American dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means. Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this
justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves...